Hi, my name's Maria Payan. I work for a nonprofit. I live in Selbyville, Delaware, in Sussex County. I work for a socially responsible agricultural project. We are called on by communities who are facing various issues, and I was called upon by a member. Can you hear? Better? Okay, I was called on by a member of the community here that's being impacted by Blessings. I asked some information on the phone. They said it was a composting operation with greenhouses, and I thought, this sounds like a little, you know, this isn't what we do. And I started Googling, and I went out for a ride to visit the site, and when I went out there, I almost got sick. The smell was more offensive than anything I've ever smelled in my life, and I have been dealing with industrial agriculture in numerous states for the past decade. There was literally stuff all over the roads, vultures in the roads. I'm going to give a brief overview of, there was an engineer the citizens had brought out who had another hearing today and could not be here, but I wanted to reference some of the things that were part of the testimony, and if it's my understanding, that's going to be shared with the council. So some of the things I want to talk about, the first thing I want to address, and I would ask that the record be opened for a month so that we can send in documents to disprove some of what was said here today to council, if you don't mind. So the first two documents that I want to talk about are these letters that were just referenced from April 27, 2012. If you go into the records of DENREC, when this operation was applied for, it was only applied for on one parcel. It is on two parcels. Mr. Blessing did know this back in 2012. It was very public after the hearing, an article by Cape Gazette, where they addressed that he thought it was a former commercial use and that he was grandfathered. When comprehensive zoning was redone, everyone else had to go and get zoning done, so that was not the case. He's known about it for 5 years. This is not something recent. The next thing I want to, there was a timeline mentioned. This timeline is absolutely correct, except for the fact that the one thing that was missing is in August 20, 2013. This is another manager's deficiency warning letter for National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System general permit cover for industrial stormwater at Blessings Greenhouse and Compost Facility. This was in between the 2012 and 2014 consent orders. Now, I think most know that a consent order is a legal agreement because there were discharges prior to. That's why he got a consent order. So it's a substitution for actually going into court, and it has stipulations in it. I would like to pass these out. This is 2012 order. If everybody will go to page 3, please. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh,
sorry.
Not the main one. Take
too much time.
Yeah, sorry.
Page 3.
There we go. Here we go. This is the 2018.
We have that one for our attorney.
This one? Sure. So the reason that Mr. Blessing got these was it was a legal agreement because he was in violation and he had the permit here. On page 3, you will see, now by the way, this was an agreement that was written up between DENREC, Mr. Bruce Blessing, and the Attorney General also is copied on this. This is a quasi-legal agreement so that they don't have to go to court. So, page 3 of 2012, you will see one of the first things that he had to do was put a $250,000 bond within 30 days as part of the agreement. You will see below that there was numerous other things. that Mr. Blessing had to do. If you go to the next page, you will see per day fines. You will notice there's a $500 per day fine for not putting up the bond. Now, I want you to take $500 times it by 2 years and 3 months, and we would have that bond plus. Because go to the 2014 agreement, and let's realize this is an agreement that DENREC should have been enforcing. This was their own agreement. 2014, you'll see, same thing, $250,000 bond, two and a third year later. Still hasn't put it up. Gives him 60 days this time. Now he puts up 10 grand. Now there's no money to clean up the site. Why? Because they didn't enforce their own agreements. This is what this community has been dealing with for 2004, 13 years. Never got a permit. There's numerous other things that haven't been done, but I just want you to see it in black and white for yourself, and this is why they cannot trust. The state has failed them. They've been failed on every level. A bond needs to be put up so that this time we don't get emails from DENREC saying we don't have money to shut it down. That needs to be done before anything is approved. So let me go through a little bit of this. We got the timeline here. This is in a flood zone that was mentioned. I think FEMA, you might want to look into the regulations with that. It's 6 to 12 feet, I think, at the lowest level below. They talked about, okay, the stormwater pollution prevention plan. I believe the engineer for the gentleman just talked about that 90% of the greenhouse operation is conducted undercover. The composting operation is not undercover, and it's in a flood zone, which means every time that it rains, all that stormwater comes in contact with all of the industrial slaughterhouse waste that's there. Now, that slaughterhouse, the stormwater, is then sucked up and poured onto the fields right next to Slaughter Creek. So if there's contamination in there, he has contaminated those fields because he's the one applying the polluted stormwater on it. This was mentioned in the testimony from the engineer, and again, you can go back and look at this. This is part of our PowerPoint, and you'll get the whole PowerPoint. Aerated static pile composting, that's what we're talking about here doing. It produces compost within 3 to 6 months. 3 to 6 months. It's not extended, like you just heard. Suitable for a relatively homogeneous mix of organic waste and work well for larger quality generators of yard trimmings and compostable municipal solid waste, food scraps, paper products, such as local governments, blah, blah, blah. In aerated static pile composting, organic waste is mixed in a large pile. To aerate the piles, layers of loosely piled bulking agents, wood chips, shredded newspaper, are added so that air can pass from the bottom to the top. The piles are placed over a network of pipes that deliver the air out. Now, the pile in the berm that's on the site there, it's 90 feet from Slaughter Creek. Slaughter Creek is a tributary of Prime Hook National Wildlife Refuge. It's under TMDL protections. And they were supposed to be monitoring, by the way, for TMDL protections. And they were supposed to be monitoring quarterly. And I would like an extension of time to turn in the monitoring report so that you can see how often it was being monitored.
Your testimony is that they weren't being monitored.
Correct. Okay. You just got an email sent, I think, from one of the community members, and this is a FOIA request that I just got back after the Planning Commission meeting. And in there, you will see it is, I wanted to know the amount of material coming onto the facility from 2012 to 2017, and what was going off the facility. I got 1 year, 2015, the entire year that material was coming on. Now I want to show you an email that was sent to me. This is from 2016. This is from the Mount Air plant. Look at the date. So either somebody's not telling the truth. Either DENREC, I would suggest you get all the records from that. This is from 2016. They said nothing came on site. He just stood up here and said he was taking it in, and then he corrected himself. The lies have to stop. The community is being hurt.
I don't know what you just said there. What did you just say there?
So I wanted to know the material that has been coming on the site and off the site, because the way that this whole agreement is set up is that Mr. Blessing is not supposed to... Yes, Mr. Blessing is, under this agreement, he is only supposed to be receiving material in order to reduce the piles on site.
From 16 to today?
From 2012, from when he got the consent order. He's only supposed to be receiving material in order to reduce what's on that site, to get it off of there.
But if he's receiving material, he's not getting...
Well, now his excuse is that he needs to add nitrogen to it because the piles have sat there for so long that all the nitrogen has escaped out of it. And what do we need the nitrogen for? That's a fertilizer. Right? So compost that sits there for 5 years is worthless. It's not compost anymore. It's a landfill. So when I got the records from two, you'll see there's only 1 year that he received compost. And that was from 2015, January, till December. Well, I just showed pictures on my phone at Mount Air. His truck, August 2016. You can't trust them. Neither one. Here's a water result from Slaughter Creek. This is May 9th of 2016. This is right next to the facility. Enterococcus, 524.7. That's five times the EPA safe swimming limit. Goes right into Prime Hook. How much money they spend to clean up Prime Hook? E. coli, 1,046.2. Fecal coliform, 1,600.
Per million.
Here's some, I want to enter these pictures in. This is pictures, clearly here you can see coming off the site, going right into Slaughter Creek. Here's pictures of the riprap that's supposed to be protecting it, all torn down.
How old are those pictures?
This is from 2016 in the summer.
16 what?
2016 in the summer.
This is, I believe, from May. These are aerials. Either March or May. Okay, so just so you can see a comparison. This is the aerial. If you look at, there's a little sign here, which is by the entrance, and I want you to see the piles. This is from, again, last year. Now, I want you to see the sign in the piles, and this is from right before the hearing for the transport permit, which I believe was November? I think November. Okay? Now, if nothing came in 2016, you tell me why it looks this way. There's double the material. The site, floodplain, look, all flooded out, running off everywhere. Everywhere, everywhere. This never should have been sited here, and there was never any wetland delineation either. Also, there is a yellow liquid in this tank. If you go back to the Planning Commission tape at 67 minutes when he just testified, he talks about bringing in eggshells from Mount Air. There is a yellow liquid in this tank that you can clearly see. Now, according to DENREC's reports they sold me, there's no liquid coming in there. I suggest somebody test the liquid, test soil on the site. The other thing that they said was not accurate. They said that it was part of a brownfield. The cannery site was, not this site, next to Dogfish Brewery was. That's inaccurate as well. The library meeting Mr. Blessing talked about, that's 2016, 16. And you can go back and check WBOC. There he says he's only bringing in wood waste. He's not bringing in any kind of anything else.
Did you just say that there was no cannery here?
No, there was a cannery there. There was a cannery there, and they did do a brownfield investigation, but that was where the part where the dog site, I mean the Dogfish Brewery is, that was actually the site that was part of the brownfield. You can see the scum on the water. This 90 feet, this is all going into Slaughter Creek. This is ridiculous. There's a 40-year-old concrete storage underground.
Would you refrain from speaking until you get back to your mic, please?
There is, I'm sorry. You can see in some of the pictures blown up, there is underground concrete storage, which has got to be cracked. It's how old? You know, it's from a very, very old cannery. We know what happens to concrete. There's hoses that you can see from the aerials going into it. Anything that's getting drained is going right through. This sits on sand. It's total sand and gravel here. It's going all down. The neighbors have dealt with this for 13 years. They have been failed at every level, and I'm not saying by you because a lot of you didn't know what was going on, but they're being failed, and they deserve better than this, and they deserve, there's something called character. And this man has been violated for discharging numerous times. He has multiple consent orders. And by the way, you know, the Clean Water Act, to not enforce the consent order, that's against the Clean Water Act. Can't have the fox watching the hen house. Here's all the pictures. And I would just ask that the record be kept open so that I can send you some documents to verify some things said. Thank you. I appreciate the time.
Thank you.
I'm sorry if I sound a little bit, but it's, you know, it's been enough of the stories. It all sounds really fun and nice. I have 2011, 2012 projections of what he's going to do. That never happened either. Time's up.
Mr. President. Question, Mary? Before you walk away?
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
I think earlier to the applicant, I made a comment about three things, one of which was I think everybody's concern here, by and large, was that of the environment. And you just shared some testimony.
Yes.
As it relates to your presentation of concerns as it relates to the environment.
Right.
And these consents are between the applicant and DENREC?
Yes.
Have you reached out to DENREC specifically as it relates to this, and have you presented them with the same information you just presented us?
Yes.
And what was their response?
So let's see. The last time I requested a FOIA request, DENREC's not real fond of me because my job is to go and find things that are not correct, okay, or not happening as there should be. I had put in a FOIA request, and I can verify this all with email. I'll be more than happy to send it to you. Asked to look in the files after I was getting information because I wanted to dig up the monitoring reports, things like that. All of this, by the way, if you look in the 2012 agreement, is part of a public record according to the Attorney General, the Deputy Attorney General. That's part of the stipulations in there. I went down there. I asked on the phone. Now, granted, I had to drive to Dover, which is an hour and some minutes away from me. I verified with them, I asked for specific things, and they said, we have an hour and a half block for you to come down. And I said, is that going to be enough time to get all of that? You know, that I asked, oh yeah, that'll be plenty of time. I walked in the room, there was a stack of files, this long, filled up. And I said, I specifically asked you. They said, we just figured we'd let you look at it and get out whatever you want. I said, I want to see David Small right now. This is how it's been. As a matter of fact, I'll send you another email because there's some problems with some of the equipment, and I just asked to have a conference call with Brian Ashby, who oversees this because of some of the monitoring results. The engineer, as a matter of fact, asked me to do that in order to help them to fix this. Totally ignored.
So
you have in paper what you need. You don't need me. You got it right there.
Well, I mean, DENREC is not here on their defense.
Right.
So,
as a matter of fact, I have called EPA about the site. and I'm getting ready to file a former letter with EPA about this because of what's going on here.
So the answer to my question is you've not received a response.
To?
As it relates to these violations that you have just shared. You're
Oh, the response? Oh, yeah, the response is in the 2014. The response is, and you'll see it, it's if you read through that document, the response is he couldn't come up with what he had to do in 2012. So in 2014, what they did was they removed all the per-day fines on everything and put in a $50,000 civil penalty instead, if they wanted to do that. But they didn't want to do that either.
Why do you think that is? I mean, they're in charge. They're in charge of our environmental safety.
I have. Let me just say, I have my from conversations that I've had with Mr. Blessing when he called me. I have things that I think I might know about influential things, but that's my opinion and that's not fact. So I'm not going to produce that. I will say when I went to dig up documents, I had to basically threaten to go to the Attorney General to have documents turned over to me, and I can supply that chain to you too, because everybody lost the documents. There were reporters that were requesting these documents. There was members of the community, myself, and it never went beyond even some of the former council members. It was nobody here now. It was Joan Deaver, because I think that was her district. She consistently went. Yeah, it wasn't. You weren't out here.
No, I wouldn't.
No, you knew.
He's been here 30 years. He's been here.
No. Yeah, no, he's a new. No, I will say no. Nobody that's sitting here was. There was nothing negative against honestly anyone, but it was going to Joan because it was hers,
sure.
And from that it was going to. I believe Lawrence Lang, and from that it was no responses. No responses to Ron MacArthur from Cape Gazette. Next time I'm gonna. But I got the documents. I got them eventually.
Now go to IG.
Eventually. Okay. But yeah, so there were conditions that the engineer had talked about. I would hope that. If they want to do this, please put the bond up, because the discussion, and again, this was provided in emails, was that there's no market. This is from Brian Churchill just a couple weeks ago. There's no market for the material. There's no bond to clean it up. Therefore, we can't do anything. Like I said, had they have enforced their own agreements back in 2012, they would have had the bond plus $100,000. If the man does not have the financial ability to do it, he doesn't have the track record, he's a chronic violator. These people deserve better. He had 13 years to get it right. A projected plan, lots of unicorns and rainbows. That's about it. Thank you.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
What do you do for a living? What's your occupation?
So I am a consultant for Socially Responsible Agricultural Project, which is a nonprofit. We're a national nonprofit. And what we do is we assist communities with whatever it might be. We get a call, basically, from either our website or...
So I think you look into it, right?
Right. So I'm kind of like private eye, you know, teaching communities to water test, organize, do this. And I will tell you, I can wallpaper my house with the files that I have on this. I've done my homework, and I'm more than happy to provide it to you guys.
Quiet.
So it gets done right this time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak?
Come on, somebody.
I see Mr. Stevens shaking his head. Yes. Is that or someone in the back?
We didn't see you the last time.
Hello, my name is Carol Tanai, and I live at 1990 Draper Road. I spoke the last time that this.
Pull that mic, that microphone, please.
You're guilty.
Yes.
Guilty.
There you go.
There we go. I yelled at everybody, and now it's me.
Right.
I spoke the last time I was here about how deplorable the conditions are with the flies and the smell and how My house is just everything. It's in a beautiful spot. The farm is great. Everything is great. Mr. Blessing's flowers are fabulous. But I have to say that the odor and the bugs, and Mr. Blessing, the odor does come through the tree buds and the leaves. It's a lot stronger in the summer. And the only thing I want to add to that today is that don't let him get bigger until he fixes what's wrong, because there's a lot of things there that aren't right. And if you let him get five times the size, then I'm afraid we'll have five times the problems. And you're welcome to come see my house. You're welcome to come sit in the backyard and smell the smells and see what I'm talking about. You know, there's times we're right in the middle of a barbecue and everything has to go in because it's stinking outside. And that's not really the way to live. And I don't think any of you people would like to live like that either. So I'm beseeching you to just really think about this before you make a decision. Because I live there. And I like it there. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Is there anyone else? If not, oops. If anyone else is ready to speak, if you can kind of get in line, get queued up, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Connie Zook. I live in Slaughter Neck. I have lived there since 1952, and the land down there has been destroyed, not only by not filling in Fowler's Beach or Prime Hook Beach. The wildlife has taken it, the wetlands took over, and we just got some sand blown in. But Fowler's Beach, the bay, came right into the farmland. And my grandfather had a farm right near Fowler's Beach, and the government took it from him. And they took what they wanted. Now they can't do that, but they did years ago. And down to Prime Hook Beach, they took farmland, paid somebody a dollar to get out of their farm. This is the government. So in 1952, I became a permanent resident here. And it was beautiful. You could go to the marshes. My grandfather would lay in the grass. He and another farmer, they go deer hunting, and they would laugh about how they get tired and lay in the grass. You can't do that today. The government has ruined our land. But now the bay has come up into my grandfather's farm, and it has destroyed land that they could till. It's not tillable anymore because the salt water has ruined it because of the government. What has happened to our nation looking out for the people instead of yourselves in your pocketbooks? That's what the government has done. I'm not saying you here on the council, but our government has filled their pockets. And Bruce Blessing, this is an ag region. It's not for garbage to be disposed of or compost to be made of. You talk about 13 bends. 13 bends used to be beautiful when I was little. We could ride our bicycles around there and just see the beautiful flowers that grew in the water there. Today it's dead trees. It looks like a skyscape. It's like the moon. So and you go by Bruce's place, it's just dirt. My grandchildren said, who can do that? Somebody's given him the right to put this dirt and compost and garbage over there. And you say it's not residential. There are lots of residential homes down there. So I'm asking you to think about Sussex County. You are the Sussex County Council. And I'm just asking you to please think about what has been allowed to be done in our county. You look out after the beaches, please look out after us. That's all that I ask. Thank you.
Thank you. I see someone else coming up.
Good afternoon. I am Sharon Stevens. I live on 9605 13 Curves Road, about a quarter mile from Mr. Blessing's facility. And I concur with everything the opposition has said so far. The smell is my primary complaint. There are days that it smells like pure sewage, and I don't know why that would be, but that's the case. I mean, pure sewage. And I have no problem whatsoever with the business that they put up there and the proposal that they have, and I'm not questioning the credibility of the experts here. But what I'm saying to you to keep in mind is that it's going to be Mr. Blessing running that. And so far what he has done with the facility that he has been complete negligence. And in addition to that, for you to say that maybe Denrec would be the overseer of that facility brings me absolutely no comfort whatsoever, because they are beyond negligent in what they have allowed to take place just down the road from my house. So Mr. Blessing has proven his history to be financially, environmentally, and ethically irresponsible. And you know, you can take a white cow, you can paint it purple, you can put it in a new barn, but at the core it's still a white cow. And so I have not seen anything different about Mr. Blessing that would encourage me to believe that he's going to run a new building and a new facility any differently than the way he has run this facility so far. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else like to speak? I see someone in the back coming forward.
Good afternoon. My name is Alan Bennett, and I live on Short Road, about a mile and a half from the site. Mr. Arlett, I want to commend you for recognizing the violation from the county 5 years ago. I was asked by one of the members of this community to take it easy on you guys, not beat you up. So you've helped me in that. I really don't have much to add that's already been said, other than the fact that what Ms. Stevenson just said, Mr. Blessing has proven to be irresponsible financially. This all looks good on paper. It really does. I'm impressed with the technology, the buildings. But I don't know how he's going to finance it. How's he going to pay for it? He stated up here he's lost money every year, not made any money. The property is owned by two different property owners. Mr. Blessing doesn't own anything. He doesn't even own the trucks that transports the product to and from. Nothing's in his name. Besides the fact he's had 50 judgments served against him from the county sheriff's office. 50 judgments. I would think that'd have to be a record. My point is, Mr. Cole says doesn't care about the financing. I think you have to look at it different in that respect. How is he going to pay for this if he's not making any money currently? How's he justify that? He was asked from the commission, one of the commissioners at Planning Zone, how long the term of the lease was. Now he stated today, 10 years. At the hearing, he didn't have a clue. He couldn't answer that. I'm sure many of you have properties, or when you buy a car, you certainly know how long the lease is. That should be on top of your head. And with two different property owners, what bank, finance company, or even a private investor would risk any such investment with this, with the history of this gentleman? I ask you to think about it. Also, don't forget, it is in a flood zone. And I think when Mr. Blessing put this proposal together, he didn't consider that. So that's an added expense that he has to meet that condition. Not required. Now, I have to remind Sussex County that you became a member in 1976 of the federal flood zone. So I think it's important to the county that they strongly enforce that and take that into consideration.
There's nothing to prevent him from doing stuff in the flood zone.
I didn't say that.
Right, I know that, but I'm just saying there.
I didn't say that. Also, he's also stated that in that pile next to Slaughter Creek, the mountain as we call it, that he can't recall what's in there. I'm going to refresh his memory. He told me personally, along with his cousin, that he's hauled in municipality waste out of lagoons. There's been dead chickens put in there, eggshells, and other rendering waste. Mr. Blessing told me that personally. That pile's been sitting there for 5 years, actually longer than 5 years. So ask yourself, why has it been sitting there for so long? And Mr. Blessing states he needs to add this so-called DAF. We've had 5 years of the DAF, and that's not pretty. I don't care whether it's dewatered, flooded, dried, the mess stinks. It draws flies. Now, the attorney testified that, how many area residents here? Don't worry about it. I asked that attorney, you want this in your backyard? Or do any of you want it in your backyard, how it's currently being operated? I don't think so. I don't think you do. Pictures don't lie, gentlemen. Look at the pictures. And I'll use the phrase, what's wrong with this picture? What's wrong with it? If you don't want to take the time to look through all the documents and the expert testimony from planning and zoning, look at the pictures. They don't lie. They were taken a year ago next month. Over 300 aerial photos. You go out there and look at that today. It hasn't decreased in size, as he's required to do. He's brought in more, as Ms. Payon said. The $250,000 bond, Mr. Blessing makes light of that. Really? Look at the photos. Do you think $250,000 will clean that up? When you don't know what's in it? He claims 700 acres around this property that he can use. If he can't market a product, why can't he spread it on the fields that he says he leases? Which he does, I assume. Why can't this product be spread on those fields over a period of time? You're a farmer, Mr. Wilson.
Does he use it?
Say again?
If he sprayed it on his farm, would he be able to use it? What is he planting there on that farm?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I said, what did you plant if in that field?
It's row crops, if corn. It's corn, mostly.
If he goes out there and sprays fertilizer on it, corn?
The current farmer is using commercial fertilizer.
You're on the farm too, right?
I am.
Then you know what flies are about, right?
That's right.
You know what chicken manure smells like too, right?
I do. I know what every other type of manure smells like,
even
too.
Even this compost smells worse than that, huh?
Yes. You take a ride out there, Mr. Wilson, and you verify for yourself. I assure you, you've never smelled anything like it.
Well, I assure you, I've smelled some pretty rotten stuff.
I have, too. I've been a farmer all my life, and I thought I knew all the smells until this come along. And I realized I hadn't.
I can tell you one thing, you ever take chickens out of a composter? You know what I told the first one time I did that? I said, go spread it in my truck somewhere. I said, they're rotten enough to gag a maggot.
Yeah.
Well, there's dead chickens in that mountain. Mr. Blessing told me so.
Yeah.
He wants to say that he can't remember. I want to help him refresh his memory.
Well, I thought he was assuming talk about waste, human waste. Toilets. Or
there was human waste brought in there.
I think that's what he was talking about.
Yeah, Mr. Wilson, won't we let the gentleman finish his testimony?
Well, I think
he should be interrupted. Then we can ask him.
I'm a little thick. You have
loud. I'm a member of that club as well, Mr. Wilson, so
yeah.
I'll go along with you. I have a few documents here that I can enter in. I think you mostly have everything that was sent by email. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's pretty much pertinent. I do have other documents. I don't want to waste the council's time. You've had others up here, and I think some people had to leave because it drug on just a little long. But I'm not going to beat up on the smell. It's bad stuff. Okay, this is bad. You've got a serious problem here, and I think you better take time to recognize it. As Mr. Hartlett recognized, 5 years ago, I stood at this podium. 7 years ago, in 2010, and brought it to the attention of Chairman Wheatley at Planning and Zoning, and Lawrence Lank. And the answer I got from Lawrence Lank at that time, we're looking into it. He didn't say we're going to look into it. He said we're looking into it. That tells me that they knew about it. 2010, April 2010, it's on the agenda and it's on audio. You can listen to it. Is he still looking into it? I know Lawrence is retired, but maybe he's still looking into it. Maybe he's doing it in his retirement. I'd like to know. 7 years, not 5 years, Mr. Hartlett. 7 years. And I apologize to the member that requested that. I asked not to beat you guys up. I apologize. I'm going to try to sugarcoat as much as I possibly can. But I think you understand the frustration of this community. That we had to go 3,000 miles and find somebody to support us, to give us help. And you have documentation from not only me, but from others from this community that has asked for your help and the planning and zoning. And we've got nothing, absolutely nothing. So we went 3,000 miles, and we finally found somebody that would listen to us, that would come out there, and had the knowledge and the willingness to help us. Denrek, I'm sorry, gentlemen. If you think you're going to throw this off on Denrek and wash your hands of it, not acceptable. Not acceptable. We won't accept it. So get ready for a fight. You have documentation from Denrek. It's proven that they can't be trusted. Article in this morning's paper. Did y'all happen to see it? Now the state wants to add a clean water tax to the taxpayers. Is that laughable or not?
Say.
Mr. Markell stated a quote from him in this morning's paper that he's embarrassed about how polluted the waterways are. Oh, really, Mr. Markell? Your state agency is responsible for this. Who else can you point the finger at? That pile sits 90 feet from Slaughter Creek. 90 feet from Slaughter Creek. And this gentleman claims he doesn't know what's in it. Really? That's pretty laughable as well. There's no management here. There's no composting here. I don't care what that letter says. Mulching? You want to sound like Bill Clinton up here? I can mix words as well. What's the definition of mulch? And it sounded a lot like Bill Clinton standing up here today. I heard a lot of Bill here today. So, again, think about it. Look at all the information that you have in front of you. But again, I'm going to keep it simple for you. Look at the pictures. Just look at the pictures. and say, what the hell is wrong with this? And look at the character and look at his history. And I think you can come to a reasonable decision if you look at all the planning and zoning testimony that was brought in there and what you hear today and what you have in black and white. I hope that you will strongly consider either deny this application or you put some very, very strong conditions on it. Now, you've had conditions that's been recommended by us. I hope you take the time to review them and look at them. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
I have a question for Mr. Bennett.
Yes, go ahead.
You made a statement earlier, a comment, I should say, and thanks for the emails earlier today. But you made a comment, which I wanted you to elaborate, if you can, on it, and that was that you were told that there was some human waste put into
I said there was human waste brought in there.
Correct.
I can't verify in that mountain, the so-called mountain, that there's human waste in there.
Well, the question...
He told me that he brought lagoon waste in there from municipalities. I'm going to assume that that's
human waste.
The byproduct or human waste from these municipalities that they can't use.
Right. And the question is, maybe you don't have the answer because maybe you weren't informed and I don't know. I was just curious as far as what municipalities that they might have.
I believe I recall Milton and Laurel at the top of my head at the time is what he told me. He and his cousin as well. At the time they were hauling in there. Now he claims it's composted. I have to disagree. I don't think that pile's ever been composted. It's been dumped there as the rest of the piles has. All he does is bring this product in, regardless of what it is, and takes a bulldozer and piles it up. That's not composting.
Okay.
6 months to a year for composting. It should be gone, out of their history. Why isn't it? And the mountain's not the only pile that's been there for 5 years or longer. There's other piles. He obviously, and Denrec, it's in Denrec's records, if you take the time to read it. They acknowledge that Mr. Blessing does not have a viable market for that product. And yes, there was a farmer that used that product for 2 years, a very large and respectable farmer. He no longer uses the product. And I've yet to see any testimony from anybody that's used the product in a large quantity. He says that somebody in New Jersey, maybe there is. But there's nobody locally, nobody from the surrounding community. As a matter of fact, I haven't seen anybody from the poultry industry anywhere come in and recognize how great a job this gentleman is doing disposing their product. After all, it is their product. He's being paid to dispose of it. He doesn't buy the product. He's being paid to dispose of it. Bear that in mind. It's not his product. He's being paid to dispose of this product from the poultry processing plants, Mount Air, Purdue, and whoever. I feel that they should be held accountable as well. After all, it is their product. That's how I feel about it, whether they can or not. But I want to refer that nobody's been here. He had 3 references on his planning and zoning. A little paragraph of Mount Air. Seriously? Nobody from Purdue. He wants to propose to haul this so-called dewater DAF from Milford, Purdue to his site. Where's Purdue? Why aren't they here today? How great a job Mr. Blessing is doing for them disposing of their product. I've yet to see them at any, the 2012 public hearing. There was nobody to represent from the poultry processing companies. I'm only telling you what he told me was in that pile. So I wanted to refresh his memory. That's the best answer I can give you. I'll leave it up to you to... That's another suggestion that we have. I don't know if you'll take it into consideration. Why can't the county, since this is a situation that you have here, and it is your situation, it's not our situation, it's your situation. We shouldn't even be here. Why do we have to defend ourselves when nobody else can do this? Nobody else in this county can get away with what he's getting away with. I've not seen anybody. We certainly can't. Farmers file a strict nutrient management program, as you're well aware of. They have to be recertified every year.
I got my license in my pocket.
90 feet from Slaughter Creek, I want to remind you, 90 feet from Slaughter Creek, that pile sits. Don't give me this hogwash about it doesn't flood. Look at the pictures. But back to my question, why can't the county, since you're in this predicament, and nobody seems to know what's in these piles, why can't we find out? Why can't we find out what's in these piles from an independent agency? Why can't they do core samples and put that to rest? Not affiliated with DENREC, not affiliated with Mr. Blessing, and not affiliated with the county. Why can't that be done? These piles have been sitting there for over 5 years. BS that it has to be recomposted. It was never recomposted to begin with. I'd like to know, for my own satisfaction, as well as the community, and I would think the county would want to know as well. When you have a tributary that's running through the National Wildlife, which is federal, and on out to the Delaware Bay. Enterococcus is a bad bug. Where else is the enterococcus coming from? I ask you, where is that bad bug coming from? Look at the pictures. Forget about the odor that the residents have to put up with, depending on which way the wind is blowing. When he was land applying a DAF, it didn't make any difference which way the wind was blowing. That was 24/7. So consider that. You've got a lot of material to consider and look at before I feel you can make a decision. But again, nobody seems to know what's in that pile. He just told you. He just testified. He's scratching his head. I don't know. I can't remember. Really? Let's find out and see what's in that pile. I want to thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. And another lady stood up.
My name is Geraldine Mayer. I live on Draper Road. I used to live in Slaughter Beach. We bought property on Draper Road.
Can you hold on just a second, please?
Hold on a second, please. We got a phone going off here.
What's the matter? Am I right?
Yeah,
oh, no, it yes. No, oh, it was.
Okay, we used to live in Slaughter Beach, and we bought this property in Draper Road in 2006. And back then it wasn't that bad, but over the years it's gotten really bad. I mean, it's putrid. And it does smell like human waste. And people in Slaughter Beach said they could even smell it there when the wind was blowing in that direction. I just want to be on record that I agree with people that have spoken against this project. You know, it's nice to have a business, but you have to have consideration of the environment and the air quality. And the air quality is terrible at times. You can't even be outside. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Mr. Stevens.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Mike, sir.
I've been hearing that. Try not to be redundant. I know a lot has been thrown at you. First, from something Ms. Payan mentioned, just to clear up the confusion about the two Draper canneries. In their report, they referred to Draper King Coal. That's not accurate. They are just the Draper Cannery. Draper King Coal is where the Dogfish site is. So just to clear that up.
Microphone.
Sorry. And I know that you have the presentation from the environmentalist that Kathy Martin that spoke on our behalf at the Planning and Zoning. I just want to make sure that you do have a copy of both her resume and her PowerPoint.
The PowerPoint was included in their packet.
Yes. And was the resume as well?
I'm not sure if the resume was, but I know the PowerPoint was included.
Okay. She also testified. Please listen to the videotape that obviously is available to you. So we'd like to make sure. I think, yes, as Mr. Moore said, that is part of the
record. That is part of the record,
good.
Yes.
Good. And I understand that she might be available for question and answer, should you have some questions at some later date. I think most of her points in her presentation were either addressed by someone that spoke to you before me. A couple of the items that I wanted to call attention to is just to reiterate, you know, we're worried about the surface water, groundwater, and in her analysis of the monitoring, that there is contamination. And as the gentleman, Mr. Stevens, testified earlier, if I heard him correctly, and I am not an environmentalist or an engineer, but it sounds consistent with what I interpret out of this, the surface water monitoring, which would be the creek. There's 14, 15, and 16 testing that's in her presentation that shows upstream, which would be at the Route 1 bridge, and downstream, which would be at the Draper Road bridge, going from 10 parts to 15, going from 7 parts to 12, going from 7 parts to 14 for nitrates over that 3-year period. And also, at about the same time, they apparently had their testing done. I also had some testing done, and Mr. Stevens, I think, testified that upstream it was 2 to 4 parts, downstream 14. Sounds like an awfully big gap to me, more than the gaps that were already there. So what is being added from that facility, assuming that I understand my parts per millions and the interpretation on this, our test, which was done March 29th, not in time for the P&Z hearing, was consistent on the nitrates from 7 to 14. But it sounds like their own expert has given us something far worse than what's here. And I'm going to give you a copy of our test results.
Thank you.
It also, in the discussion of the groundwater testing from the monitoring wells, her interpretation of those reports, as Ms. Payan pointed out, it is mostly sand, but interesting in the southeast corner in this page here, which is the monitoring well 1. In the analysis, it does show that it's black peat, which is my understanding is that is wetlands. So that monitoring well right there at the 13 Curves Mountain apparently would seem to be is wetlands. So would certainly encourage it to require a delineation. And the comments about the farm field runoff that might be creating the nitrate problem. These are the farm fields that he's applying his waste to. So the wastewater, just to make sure that's clear. And you've also been hammered with the fact that this is is not only in a 100-year flood zone, but also in a coastal flood zone, which we're concerned about that. And in Mr. Blessing's own testimony that there, in fact, has been a flood there. So, you know, whether that's a 100-year flood or a coastal flood, would seem that ought to certainly be taken into consideration. And as was pointed out before, there are, at the tail end of this, proposed conditional use language that the expert, the environmentalist, has proposed. Not to read all of them, but some of the highlights: floodplain management plan. Of course, as you've heard before, that the applicant should show compliance with not just the ASO, but permitting. She's got recommendations for composting piles, and of course that is what's occurring there now as opposed to what he's proposing. Limiting what he's allowed to take in, you know, not accepting animal mortalities, poultry mortalities. To limit his groundwater application to fields that are below 8 parts per million, so that it doesn't increase problems out there in the fields. In having looked at the Blue Hen Organics file, I noticed some interesting things in there from their experts. In their site description, they talk about criteria of DENREC is not in a 100-year floodplain. Then it's also not within 100 feet of a perennial stream, which, of course, Slaughter Creek is a perennial stream. They also in here discuss proper techniques of managing windrow management, and specifically they speak to odors. Malodors such as rotten eggs and decayed fish smell that signal something is wrong with the windrow. And then also those experts were suggesting that there'd be training to their employees by taking them to locations where the anaerobic decomposition of solid waste create malodors, such as landfill, transfer station, wastewater treatment. And I think those are all familiar smells that you've heard the folks talk about. Also presented to planning and zoning were a series of emails back and forth between residents and one of the Dover Post news reporters that clearly show that DENREC does know there's a problem there, and explain why it's an ASO, and certainly seem to contradict what I heard read excerpts from this March 31 letter. Let's see, what else? And those emails, I presume you have them?
We do now.
Okay.
If they were presented on the P&Z hearing, we do, but be sure we will take them. Okay, thank you.
So I don't know what Mr. Churchill's saying about him being in compliance and how, actually Bruce took the Fifth at his counsel's advice about his known violations beyond just the county planning and zoning issue. So those emails speak to all the things that have been discussed today, primarily for me, chronic violator, the fact that Department of Justice had to get involved. We're just telling you who you're dealing with. So in the end, we'd like to see certainly that list of suggestions that the environmentalist has put forth. We'd like to see that there's flood zone compliance in all regards. We'd like to see that there's a bond requirement. The county can require bond for performance. So if the performance is removing these mountains as part of the approval process, I think a bond could be required for that. We'd also like to see that has completed the process for this ASO and removed these piles in advance of any approval. We'd like to see ultimately that the facility is constructed before final approval, that he shows, because we believe, and as has been presented here, there's really not any intent to follow through with the plan. If he gets approval, what's to say he's not going to operate for another several years outside the law? So we'd like to see, and as far as the timeline goes, what I pieced together from the notes in the discussion was that by September, he plans to have two buildings operating at this facility. And before that, he would have ridded himself of these mountains. So if that's true, then what he's just offered is a six-month timeline to get rid of the piles, have phase one in place and functional. And so my suggestion would be that not only do you require that timeline, a strict timeline, also to continue phase two, come forth with a plan for phase two, three, and four, however many phases there are. I think as others have said, if he's operating compliant, a state-of-the-art facility like this, and we don't have the smells, we don't have the water pollution, and ultimately don't have any noise pollution because of all these fans, which would be another thing we'd request is maybe a decibel limitation as you've done in other cases, just anticipating that problem. If he can have that in place, then I don't want to stop the man from having a business. But he clearly has not been compliant, has not been a good neighbor, has not had any intention, looking at the history. And I personally believe, and know having discussed with several of the other community members, we don't think he has any intention of creating what he's presented to you. So hopefully, any approval will require that facility looks just like that and operates just like they said it would. And we would like to see some periodic independent inspections, because none of us trust DENREC. So we'd like to see independent inspection periodically. And then please require a rehearing at some point periodically. Let's hear what the public has to say. Do we have to call in another nonprofit organization to help us out to come testify? If there's a rehearing in 3 years and none of us show up, I think everybody wins. Because of the time of the day, 1:30, there were other residents that did show, speak to planning and zoning. So those are certainly in the record, and those folks do circle the area. Allison Ruvith, who was here, she had to leave because of the hour. She lives on Route 1, west of the facility. Another gentleman, Jonathan Walls, not sure where he lives in the area. Steve Bennett and his wife were here. They live off to the northeast. So you've heard from people that live northeast, two folks north, other residents that couldn't have made it that would have, or along Sugar Hill Road. Allison, who spoke at the other meeting, was west. Alan is southwest, my wife and I. I live on 9605 13 Curtis with my wife that spoke earlier, and we're east, southeast. So that I think is probably all I need to comment on.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And is there anyone else that would like to speak today in opposition? Anyone else? Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter. I know there's been some discussion. Pardon?
Sorry, Mr. Moore? I believe there might be a representative from DENREC. Yes, I don't know if I can
come,
speak.
Can you come up, please?
You are speaking now.
Okay. Yeah, by yourself.
You're stuck.
Yes. I'm here not to speak in favor or against Mr. Blessing's facility, but if you'd like, I'd be willing to hopefully answer some of your questions.
And who are you again?
I am Brian Churchill. I am the environmental scientist with DENRIC that issues permits for certain composting facilities in the state of Delaware, Mr. Blessing's facility being one of them. Other composting facilities are permitted under a different section of DENRIC, but I can speak to Mr. Blessing's facility. Additionally, I write the land application permit.